This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Domingo Herman has pitched a perfect game! For the fourth time in the history of the New York Yankees, perfection attained. Herman being mobbed at home plate by a full Yankee dugout coming out to congratulate the 30-year-old from the Dominican Republic.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 11:02, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We opened a little baseball, got into the hockey right away, though, as Ranger fans are livid after that performance, and I get it. Just a disaster of a performance. And, I mean, it goes up and down the lineup. I mean, other than Igor, nobody came to play. I know Panarin got the goal early. Nobody came to play. And, you know, some of these, you know, great players... Like, even, you know, I talked to my buddy Monzo. Even some of the, like Adam Fox, who has been such a disappointment this year, who was on his way to becoming one of the better, young defensemen in this league. Just the effort out of him. And this is why, and I'm sorry to say this, and I hate to bring up the tournament, and I know everybody had fun with it, and it was a great game, Canada, U.S., booing the national anthem, whole became a whole big story, you know. Trade war, whatever the case may be. That's what's tough. It's tough to take as a Ranger fan. And maybe you'd feel differently because the hockey was so much fun and so great for that tournament. But when Adam Fox tells you that he's never been more excited to play a hockey game in a meaningless tournament, that yes, he does wear our country's name on his chest, and anytime you do that, it's hard to call it meaningless. But ultimately, it wasn't a gold medal game. It wasn't anything other than an exhibition put together to create interest for the All-Star break. It's all it was. It was masterfully done and wildly successful and led to great hockey. But ultimately, it doesn't mean anything. What does Canada get? A couple of days of, hey, we did it. Now let's get back to our NHL teams. Like, what do they get? And Adam Fox could give a damn about a game against Calgary in March, but gets all excited for the tournament to go out there and beat Canada. Like, it means more to him than anything else. And he's a no-show in games while the Rangers are fighting for their lives. Like, that's why that comment is a problem. That's why guys like me, I know Sean Marash was on it, that's why I get upset about comments like that, because there will be nights like this when I don't see anything from Adam Fox, and we haven't seen much from him all year. And he's going to tell you that that's the most important game, the most excited he's ever been, can't wait to hit the ice for United States, Canada, in not an Olympic game, not a junior hockey game, not anything other than a derived, made-up tournament to create enthusiasm for the NHL players. The NHL players. Not the best players in the world, the NHL players. They happen to be one and the same, but specifically NHL players. He didn't have that same enthusiasm for a Tuesday night against the Calgary Flames with his season going up in flames. Didn't have any enthusiasm for that. But got to go beat Sidney Crosby in a meaningless tournament. That's what we get excited about. And that's what's tough, because that's what it feels like. Right now it feels like the Ranger fans want it more than the Rangers do. And we've talked a lot about toughness with the New York Knicks recently. Right, that's been a major debate. Maybe we'll get back into it at 888-808-1019, and whether or not they should have, you know, I don't know, gone to, you know, thrown elbows at the Golden State Warriors and had a problem with Draymond Green, or they should have, you know, thrown guys into the first row. Question mark about this team's toughness compared to last year's toughness. Well, this Ranger team has shown you zero toughness. Zero. Zero fight. Like, last year, I mean, I wouldn't have even called them an incredibly tough team last year. They were a finesse team. They were a power play team. They were an incredible, obvious, you know, they were incredible on the power play, a bunch of power play goals. Great on the PK as well, led the league in shorthanded goals. They were a special teams team that wasn't very good 5-on-5, scored a ton of goals, got good goalie play, and won more games than anybody else and had more points than anybody else. But were they tough? When the rubber met the road in the postseason, were they tough? They had one moment where Chris Kreider stepped up and showed some toughness against the Hurricanes. But ultimately, the Florida Panthers were stronger, more physical, more playoff-ready hockey team. And right now, it seems like that loss and that almost realization of who they are and what their limit is has completely stripped them of any confidence, of any toughness they might have had, and of any hope of actually being a team that competes on a nightly basis and competes for a Stanley Cup championship, because they are not that. They are just not that. This was an embarrassing performance, and this is why you get ruined. This is why the coach should be fired starts going up, and, you know, that's why. Because of performances like this. What this team has looked like all year. 888-808-1019. So a miserable night for the New York Rangers. But baseball's back as well. So a little excitement there. And I'm pumped about the New York Yankees. Call me crazy. Call me the Yankee Cashman, Hal Steinbrenner, Aaron Boone shill. I'm not ready to declare the season dead. I think the Yankees are far better than people giving them credit for. And I think this offense has a chance to be far better than what people are telling me it is. Far better. Doesn't have Juan Soto in it? I don't think it's going to be as good. It's not going to lead the American League in runs scored like it did last year. But it's got a chance to be a hell of a lot deeper, and it's got a chance to have a heck of a lot more going on with a lot more athleticism. Like, that's the one. Like, people keep telling me, I get it on Twitter, I get it from the phone calls. Oh, this geriatric team, it's... The Yankees aren't old. I don't know why people say that. because they signed a 37-year-old first baseman. Like, that's it. And Stanton's 35. Stanton's not here right now. And DJ LeMahieu, not here right now. Probably not coming back. Let's go to Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Chris, happy baseball season, my friend.
Happy baseball season, brother. What's going on?
I was watching this morning. I'm going to be up at the crack of dawn watching a game, too. I'm just so happy to watch a baseball game.
I have a real problem with everything about what they're doing here. But I do love the idea that baseball's back. And I was watching it at 6:45 this morning. I was up with the boys, and I watched the John Cena promo with them to open. We watched the Raw open, and then I was watching baseball with them, and they were all into it.
There's nothing better than being a baseball junkie and like going on MLB at bat, looking at the box.
I was watching the game, and then I got to tell you, I'm the crazy guy. In 2020, I was watching the KBO at 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I was I'm a big Doosan Bears fan.
You know what's funny, Chris? I was just thinking about something. I think you appreciate this, how sports narratives change. Just 6 months ago, at the beginning of October, I was a big anti-Dodger guy. You know, it was like, oh, they've choked 3 years in a row. Roberts can't manage. They can't get over the hump.
Yeah.
And now from there, I was looking at them today. Their bullpen is ridiculous. They've got like five guys who are closers. And it's like, I don't see how this team doesn't win 110 games, which leads me to my Yankee question.
Yes.
As a Mets fan, the one thing I always blows me away is how the Yankees find these bullpen guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had a guy like Weaver, who was a failed starter with Cincinnati, who was closing games for you. Do you think Weaver and Hill just naturally bounce back to be set-up guys this year? Or are you a little wary of that? Or do you think like other guys like Leiter or maybe Loaisiga, when he gets healthy, you think they're going to be the main guys?
I think Loaisiga, thank you very much. They gave Loaisiga $5 million. Knowing he wasn't going to pitch until June. I think they have every expectation of Jonathan Loaisiga being someone heavily involved in the back end of the bullpen. So for him, yes. Now we'll see what Mark Leiter. I think he had a little bit of an issue, but he threw a bullpen. He's expecting to be ready for the opening day. Mark Leiter, actually, as crazy as his season was last year, he was terrible when he first got here. Actually, that's not true. The first couple of appearances were good. Then he was terrible for pretty much the rest of the year, to the point where he wasn't on the postseason roster until they lost Hamilton from injury. And then he ended up throwing enormous innings for them and being really good in the postseason. So Leiter, I don't know, maybe towards the back end. Right now, Hill is really the only lefty. They have got, you know, Weaver's changeup plays against lefties. I think for the first time, you're going to see a real dynamic. Maybe not the first time, but this is going to harken back to 96. Now, I'm not saying that Weaver is going to be Mariano Rivera or anywhere near as good as Mariano Rivera was in 1996, but I think it's that dynamic where in big games, you could see an inning, maybe two, out of Weaver leading you to Williams, who I wouldn't expect to see multiple innings out of. He's a one-inning guy. But Weaver, Hamilton, Jonathan Loaisiga, when he comes back, Hill, they've done a really nice job of getting really good performances out of their bullpen. And right now, this bullpen is, I think, excellent. Now, they still got some guys hurt that are coming back. You got Cousins, Brubaker, different guys who you're hoping to make impact. F. Ross, if we ever see that guy. You know, there's some guys who are still good for the depth of the bullpen. The overall depth of the bullpen is just okay. And with the starter rotation that it's in right now, that might be a little bit of a problem. But the actual back end of the bullpen, you're going to see a lot of games over in the sixth inning. The Yankees get to the sixth inning with a lead, you're going to feel really good about this team and its chances to win. Gerald in Queens. What's up, Gerald?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, man. I love the show. Love all the hosts. Love the music. I don't think the Knicks is going nowhere.
You had to preface the killing the Knicks by complimenting us here at the station. I love you guys. I love the music. I love everybody. The Knicks suck.
Yeah. The reason I stopped liking the Knicks when they traded Mark Jackson.
Oh, is that all? When they traded Mark Jackson. So you've been really living the high life over the last 20 years as they've been the worst franchise in the sport.
Yeah, and then Michael Jordan gave him a chance to win the ring, and then John Starks He missed all those three-pointers.
1 for 17, and yes, that is absolutely true, yes.
Pat Riley should have sat him down.
Hindsight being 20/20, yes. I really wish he would have given him some time on the bench.
And then they talking about how he dunked on Michael Jordan.
He did dunk on, well, I mean, you know, he kind of dunked on Michael Jordan.
It was like three players behind Horace
Gerald,
Grant.
Gerald, what's your point, Mike? Gerald? Listen, Starks dunked on Michael Jordan. They lost every big series to him. When he went away, they lost a terrible series to Houston that they should have had won in game six, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, he was letting Starks shoot on threes.
What about now? What about this team? Why are you convinced this team's going nowhere? It has nothing to do with the Starks dunk.
Oh, okay. They got a chance. But for some reason, the Knicks ain't been to the finals since then.
They went in 99 and lost to the Spurs. But this team is its own unique team. It's different than even last year's team. This is the first time we're seeing this. I don't think it's going to be the last. I don't know what kind of tweaks you're going to make. I heard I was listening driving home to Anthony Gallo last night. I thought Gallo did a good job. And he was talking about what his expectations were for the Knicks and how he would feel at the end of the year. And then there's like a viral clip going on social media that Ben Stiller's reacted to and some different people have reacted to about the expectations of the New York Knicks. And look, we all know that right now no one expects them to beat Cleveland or the Celtics. And so no one expects them to get out of the second round. If they, you know, what are the expectations of this Knicks team? Like right now without Brunson, and that's going to be the key. Like when does Brunson come back, and how does he look when he comes back? How is that ankle? Is he able to be the same player? Is he limited because of it? Are his minutes limited? Is his ability limited? Is his ability to be, you know, because his quickness, his foot quickness is his game. Like his feet are his game. That's his game. Like he shoots over people and is able to get to the basket at his size because of his quickness and his footwork. So if that's hampered in any way, well,
I said it's Dirk Nowitzki like his
yes,
footwork.
It is. It is Dirk Nowitzki like. Yes, very very much so. Like his ability to catch people off guard with when he goes up, or his, you know, footwork getting around people, or like his just overall quickness is such a part of his game that I'm nervous about what he's going to look like when he comes back. But ultimately, this Knicks team that I do think there are answers, and I do think they're going to benefit from him being gone right now and having to play these games. I think Karl-Anthony Towns, hopefully, you know, we saw the buzzer beater from Mikal Bridges, and now we've seen this game against Miami, and Bridges was great in it as well, but the toughness over the last two games, really, even in the losing effort, his toughness against Golden State, and then the run he went on to drag the Knicks back into the game after a terrible start against Miami. Like, maybe we're seeing something where Karl-Anthony Towns, maybe something snapped. Maybe he recognizes he's got to get to the basket a little bit more. He's got to be a little bit more physical. And if they can get that, and they can get a Mikal Bridges, who's got confidence in his jump shot, his three-point shooting, his ability to score, and wants to step up his defensive effort, you might have a team capable of things, but like, I don't think they're going to lose to anybody but the Celtics. Like, I still think, I know there's a lot of people out there who love what the Pistons are doing, and right now, yeah, the Pistons are having a great year, and they're a dangerous team with a lot of young, you know, very good players. That would be a disaster for this New York Knicks team. There's no doubt about it. They have to, they can't lose to anybody else, at least in the Eastern Conference playoffs. They can't lose to anybody else except Cleveland or Boston. That's the bare minimum. Now, I still say, I'm sorry to say this, my expectations are Eastern Conference Finals. When you do what they did last year, when you add the talent that they added last year, blew up that team, added Mikal Bridges, added Karl-Anthony Towns, sent away what they sent away in DiVincenzo and Randle, like, the expectations were to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals. And to me, I don't, like, do I expect them to beat the Celtics? No. Are they going to be favored in that series? No. But if they, people keep, I keep hearing, well, if it's a hard fought series against the Boston Celtics, how do you get upset? It's not a matter of upset. It's a matter of what expectations are at the start of the year. They have to get to an Eastern Conference Finals. That's it. This group. And if it's not this year, it's a failure. Sorry, that's it. And then they'll have another crack at it next year. I don't know if it's wide-sweeping changes. Even if they lost to the Detroit Pistons, are there going to be wide-sweeping changes with this team? Like, maybe the coach. Maybe. But I don't know about that.
By the way, they've lost to the Pistons twice at Madison Square Garden this year.
Right. So they haven't played well again. I still think they'll beat the Pistons in a series.
Malik Beasley went off from the three-point line in both those games.
Mm-hmm. I still think they're better than the Pistons.
Oh, 100%. And they played them tight last year, too. I don't know if you remember. Yeah. I just was there.
Vaguely, yeah. No, listen, the Pistons are a good team. But I'm saying if they lose to the Pistons, if they lose to the Celtics, like, are there levels of failure with this Knicks team? Sure. Right? Will I be more upset if they lose in the first round to the Pistons than I would be if they lose a seven-game series in the second round to the Celtics? Of course. But to me, it's not about... It's about what... They need to get back to an Eastern Conference Finals, bottom line. And they're built to do it, and they went out and made moves specifically to get them there. If they don't get there, it's a failure. And I really don't see that much of a difference in what they accomplish by, you know, giving the Celtics a good series. Like, I think we're past that. Right, I think we're past that. Sure, is there if the Celtics go on to repeat and they're the best team in the NBA and you lost to the Celtics, you could live with it. I'm not saying you'll sit home and cry all year about how awful the season ended, but at the same time, to me, there's nothing else to do but win. That's it. I don't think this group is going anywhere. I don't think there's any more moves to be made. I think they're going to be the same team moving forward next year, and they're going to talk about growth and another year together and Mikal Bridges growing inside this group and all that. That's what you'll hear. Maybe they'll add a piece or here and certainly change the bench or, you know, some different moves. But it's going to be Brunson. It's going to be OG. It's going to be Cat. It's going to be Mikal Bridges. It's probably going to be Hart as well. Like, that's the group. And I don't see wide sweeping changes no matter how poorly it goes in the playoffs. And to me, it's about getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, bare minimum. They were a round short of it last year. They're better this year. Get to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's that simple. Anything short of that is a failure. There's degrees of it, but that's the bottom line. Get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think they're, you know, things are going to have to change. And I've said this before. I said it when they lost to the Celtics the last time. I said, we might fool ourselves. They might go on a stretch. They might go on a run. They might play really well. And we might fool ourselves into thinking they can beat the Boston Celtics. But until they do, I don't believe they will. But that doesn't mean, oh, just because I think they can't beat the Celtics that I'm supposed to be happy that they lost to the Celtics or say, hey, it was a great run. The Celtics are just better. What are you going to do? No. This team is now complete. This team is built to win a championship, and if they don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, it is a failure of a season. Let's go to Mark in Staten Island. What's up, Mark?
My man, how are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think the group with the Knicks next year is pretty much going to be the same. I think one move we'll see is I do think we'll get DiVincenzo back. I mean, I think they can totally give them like a third or fourth round pick for that guy back in the group. I don't know, but... You know, they when they lost that first game this year to OKC, and that was like a 50-50 game. That game could have gone either way. I feel like since then, when they played like the Celtics or OKC again or Cleveland, they just couldn't live up to it. But I do think the Knicks will go far into the playoffs, and I think the group is a good group. I just think it's their first year with this group with Kat, and you know, the window's open, man. The window's that, open.
I completely agree. The window's open. They're young. They're talented. They've got at the very minimum, a three-year window here to try and win a championship. So that's it. And until they do it, to me, there's nothing else to do. So if they don't do it, it's a failure of the season, and you go try and get better and do it again next year.
Yeah, and it was like last year, the year before, when they're in the playoffs, and like you know, Tibbs had to go to like Alec Burks, and the guy played well. And it's like, oh, look at that. You know, you play these bench players and they actually can do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, it does kill me that he really just grinds out the starters, but I get it. You know, we're here to play, you know, don't be pansies, but you know, I would like to see a second unit that's a little bit stronger. And I think that's our weakness mm-hmm. with the Knicks. You know, but I did have a Yankee yeah. point. I want to see Volpe step up next year. I mean, if he's not going to take a step forward, then I don't know where we are with him. And you know, he was really good in the.
We're with him. I'll tell you exactly where they are with him. I'll tell you exactly where I'll be with him.
Yeah.
No longer the guaranteed shortstop of the New York Yankees.
Right, but if he does take that next step, like, I want to see 40 stolen bases. Like, get on base more, stay in the strike zone, give me 40 stolen bases, be aggressive.
Yeah.
You don't have to hit 300, but, you know, you hit, like, 230 or 240 last year. Like, give me 250, 260.
Yeah, I'm not even focused on batting average. It's on base, and it's OPS. I mean, that's the stat. He needs to, like, and the 40 stolen bases would be nice, and that's just him getting on more would lead to more stolen bases. And I do think they'll be able to run at the middle bottom of that lineup. I'm not focused on that either, to be totally honest with you. I think stolen bases are a means to an end. I want to see runs scored. If that helps him score runs, then that's fine. But to me, this is the year he's got to have a 790, 800 OPS. Like, this is the year he's got to step up and actually be a above average offensive player. He doesn't have to be dominant. He doesn't have to be Seager. He doesn't have to be one of the best hitting shortstops in the game because he's very good defensively. He just has to be even slightly above average major league offensive player. That's what he has to be at the end of this year.
If you look at the whole lineup, you know pretty much around what everyone's going to do. Even the new guys, even Bellinger and Goldschmidt, you know, and guys like Jazz and Judge. Like, we know what they are and what they're going to give us. Like, Volpe's the one X factor that, like, we're still unsure. And if he takes that next step, then it can be huge for us. It could be freaking
no,
huge.
Yeah, no, there is no doubt. Volpe, the most pressure, I think, I mean, arguably, to me, the most pressure of any player on the team is Volpe. Once you get to the postseason, then it's on Judge. Right? Once you get to the playoffs, then clearly the pressure is highest on Aaron Judge. But I think he'll get through the season fine. That's what he does. He's going to give you a great regular season. Even though he's struggling right now in spring, he's going to be fine. Once you get to the postseason, there's no question where the pressure goes. That's on Judge. But during the regular season, I don't know if there's another player on the New York Yankees with more pressure on him than Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe has been given the keys to the kingdom. Like, they have just flat out, he won that job in spring training, and they said, you're the shortstop. For the next 2 years, we're not even going to debate it. Now, the 3 years, we're not even going to debate it. We're not going to give you days off. We're not going to even, you know, threaten to send you down at any point. Like, you're the guy. That's it. He has been given the keys. This is the last year he gets that, in my mind. Like, if he has another 690 OPS, like, he's got to have at least a 700 OPS. I think I said 790 to 800. That'd be nice. He's not really a power hitter. I meant more, he's got to be slightly above average, which is like 720, 730. He's got to have an OPS in the 700s bare minimum. But, like, it's time to have a really good offensive season. If he doesn't, if he gives you the same up and down, you know, glimpses, but not consistent play, if he is a less than average major league offensive player, then I don't look at him as the future of the starting position at the starting shortstop anymore. He still might be going into next year, because they might not have a better option, but it's no longer, it's just Anthony Volpe and that's it. If he starts to not hit, I mean, you have to start to consider, you know, like Lombard coming up as a shortstop. They say he's a great defensive shortstop. You know what? Forget trying to move him to third base. Forget maybe trying to fit him at second base. If Lombard is the guy and they're ready to make the next move up and he's a shortstop, well, sorry, Volpe, you just lost your job. Like, this is it. This is the year. You can't just carry around a light-hitting shortstop in today's day and age forever because he was the prospect that you chose. Like, at some point, he's got to show that he's a major league hitter. And in the postseason, he did. But he's got to keep that up for the whole year. This is a huge year for Anthony Volpe. And you're right. Anthony Volpe taking that next step is one of the handful of most important things for this New York Yankees team. There's no question about it. Anthony Volpe becoming that player will be a huge difference in whether or not this lineup improves or whether or not it is what a lot of Yankee fans fear and is the bane of their existence. Like he is, without question, one of the more important pieces on this Yankee team. I don't think there's any doubt. And honestly, this is it. This is the last year I view Anthony Volpe as just, hey, he's our shortstop. No worry, no need to worry about it in the free agency period. No need to worry about it via trade. Like, that's it. In the offseason, we don't have to think about shortstop. Anthony Volpe's the guy. That has been the case for the last three offseasons. This is it. If this year he is not a productive offensive player for the entire year and gives you an above-average offensive performance, then you have to seriously consider about what the options are at shortstop moving forward for the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with more of your calls right here on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left, it is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan. In for Keith. I got you for a little bit more than 2 hours as we take you till 2 a.m. And I believe Pat Boyle will be in the building then, filling in for me. Nobody ever says that. Nobody ever says filling in for McMonagle. I say it for Keith anytime in the afternoon, filling in for the guys, filling in for the guys. Overnight guys, they just step in, they do their show. Nobody has to say, "Oh, I'm in for C-Mac." Yeah, sure you did.
I'll find
Rami's the one guy.
I'll play it for you.
I'm just kidding. I don't really care that anybody says filling in for me. No, I know you want to play it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So yeah, we got a little baseball optimism as the season's starting. If you Met fans, listen, I don't know how you could be more optimistic. I don't even, right now, everything is great in Metland. Yeah, a couple injuries, no doubt. We'll see what Nimmo is with his knee. Obviously, McNeil, short-term thing offensively. Turned out to be nothing with Winker, just a cramp as he exited after a at-bat the other game. You're dealing with some pitching injuries, but with the way the depth has stepped up and Montas, not really a lot of confidence in him anyway. It doesn't feel like a devastating loss, even though clearly the Mets think highly of him as they ran to go give him $34 million over the course of 2 years. But with the way the depth has stepped up so far in spring, and again, it's spring training. I don't want to make it seem like we know this Met rotation is going to be great, but they have pitched unbelievably well in spring. Everyone has been incredible. You know, even Griffin Canning, Paul Blackburn, David Peterson, obviously Clay Holmes, your opening day starter. Like, everyone's just done such an incredible job. And then offensively, you know what this team's capable of. So the optimism is through the roof for the New York Met fan and for the New York Yankees who had lost Juan Soto. Met fans having a lot of fun talking about owning the city and being big brother in the town and everything like that. The New York Yankees are going to be fine. The New York Yankees lineup is going to be better, or at least has a real legitimate chance to be far better than what I'm hearing from a lot of Yankee fans. And this rotation, while obviously devastated by injury, is still one of the better ones in the American League, and the back end of the bullpen will be pretty good. Then we got the Ranger loss. That was a devastating, disgusting, despicable, awful, lackluster performance as the team should be fighting for their lives. Instead, was fighting for the buffet after the game because they had no interest in anything. They score an early goal and they just sat on it and did absolutely nothing. They got beat to every loose puck. There was just zero effort. And, you know, I haven't been one of these guys who screams for head coaching. I know in hockey it feels different for whatever reason. One, because it is, and they do go through coaches and they retread. I mean, God, how many different teams is, like, the Rangers' last couple of head coaches, barring one exception of what's his name, who came from Boston College, Quinn. Thank you. Besides Quinn, I mean, you're talking about the retreads of the Alain Vigneault has coached at every team in the NHL. Obviously, Tortorella is now in Philly and has coached everywhere. Laviolette is, I mean, Gallant, yeah, I mean, it is nothing but retreads. Hockey is full of these coaches who get a million opportunities to go a million different places. And I haven't been calling for Laviolette's job. I really haven't. And, I mean, now it would make no sense to do it right at this point in the season. But moving forward, I mean, as brilliant as the job we all gave him credit for last year, and it was right to move on from Gallant, and, you know, even his short term with the Rangers, it was still the right decision. Laviolette was the right man for the job. Off of last year, this year, and this effort they gave last night, that's what gets coaches fired, man. That's what gets coaches fired. That kind of performance is exactly what gets coaches fired. And right now, it makes you wonder what Chris Drury is going to do with this team. I mean, is it worth it to add? Now they've added, they added JT Miller, and that's a long term, you know, solution there. But like moving forward, what do they do with this group? What do they do with this group that its aging core has not been able to get it done in the postseason, and now clearly, even in the regular this year, has been an absolute disaster? That was a tough night for Ranger fans, as they are now again a point behind Montreal, and Montreal has two games in hand. They're only 2 points up on the Columbus Blue Jackets and the New York Islanders, and both of those teams have two games in hand. The New York Rangers are fighting for their lives, and if you watched the game last night, it looked like they didn't give a damn. That is a major problem. While half the team, or I shouldn't say half the team, when Adam Fox and JT Miller are playing in the, you know, Four Nation tournament, talking about how unbelievable it is and how they can't wait to play and they've never been more excited to play a game, that's the kind of thing, again, that's why I got mad at the time about it. Because there are nights like this where there is no effort from this team against a Flames team. When they're fighting for their playoff lives, there's no effort. And then, you know, during the All-Star break, they tell you that's the most excited they've ever been to play a hockey game. And people got all mad at me. What are you knocking? I have no problem with it. They're playing for their country. I know they're playing for their country in a meaningless, made-up tournament. And I love when people say, oh, yeah, so the Olympics are made up too. Yeah, in ancient Greece, it's a little bit different. The Olympics were made up in ancient Greece. I know they had a long gap in between. I'm not stupid. But we're talking about the 1940s. This thing was made up, you know, in Bettman's office 6 months ago. It's a made-up tournament, and everybody got on me. Oh, what are you getting on the players for? So they're excited to play for their country. You ever put on a uniform for your country? Yeah. No, I never have, and I'd probably be excited to do it. That doesn't change the fact that they're Rangers, and that this is an NHL product that was in that tournament, and the NHL New York Rangers should be excited to play for their team against the Calgary Flames with their playoff lives on the line. That's what they should be excited for. And they weren't. 888-808-1019. We got to take a quick break. Come back. Take your calls next. I want to talk about the New York Giants a little bit, too. You know how I love talking about this quarterback situation. And I have a question. I've been thinking about this all day. Are the New York Giants tipping their hand on how they feel about both of the quarterbacks by being willing to wait this long for Aaron Rodgers? And if it is a waiting game with the Pittsburgh Steelers, does having that third pick in the draft help the New York Giants? 888-808-1019. Come back and answer those questions as well as take your phone calls. Maybe we'll even throw in a little Aaron Rodgers. It wouldn't be a show if I didn't bring up Aaron Rodgers. So I'm contractually forced to do it. So bear with me. 888-808-1019. We'll come right back.
Lynn likes the open floor, spinning, puts it up and backs it in. Yes. Sensational play for Jeremy Lynn.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Lynn's sanity continues here at Madison Square Garden.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you still on this Tuesday evening. We're about to say goodbye to Rami, say hello to Michael Fliegelman, and hello to Wednesday morning. But I still got you for a few minutes and then a few hours after that. 888-808-1019. So I've been thinking about something today as Mel Kiper came out with his new mock draft 3.0. And he has Cam Ward going number one. to the Tennessee Titans and starting to really... Now, look, we don't know reports, and this is the... I mean, if there's ever a time for misinformation, I mean, this is it. So we don't know exactly how Tennessee feels. Tennessee has been on the record saying they're not going to pass up on a generational talent. Maybe they feel that way about Cam Ward. But there are two players deemed to be that, and Cam Ward is not one of them, although he is pretty much considered universally the best quarterback on the draft, certainly not the best player in the draft. They've said they're open for business at number one, and now it's starting to feel like they're going to take Cam Ward. I don't know what Cleveland is thinking, but it feels less and less likely that Cleveland takes Shador too, but it's always possible, which is why I'm still furious about the Colts game, because they should have Cam Ward right now ready to go. But instead they don't. They're sitting at number three. And I'm wondering, as the New York Giants, as we wait, right? And this is the situation. We'll get into Aaron Rodgers a little bit later and some thoughts coming out of Pittsburgh about Aaron Rodgers. But as we wait here for Aaron Rodgers, this is the deal as we see it right now, as best we can guess as what's being reported. He's waiting for Minnesota. He's waiting to see if Minnesota will decide to change their minds, because it felt like they were going to go with J.J. McCarthy as soon as Sam signed with Seattle, but now they're open to this. So he's waiting for what he believes to be his best option, the Minnesota Vikings. So as he waits, it's up to the Giants and the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are next, both willing to pay him the money I'm sure he wants and give him the contract he wants. They both have different ups and downs, positive and negatives, rather. And it's pretty much perceived that he would pick the Pittsburgh Steelers, certainly a team that went to the playoffs last year, a better defense, arguably this side of, Andy Reid, the best head coach in the game, most consistent franchise in sports, and you know what you're getting from them. And the New York Giants. And as we play this game where we wait, two things have started to really ponder in my mind. One specifically just about how the Giants are feeling about this. And I'm wondering if the New York Giants are giving us a feeling on how they feel about Shador Sanders. And hear me out, because this coach and this GM are desperate for their lives here. Right? They have to win football games. Or, at the bare minimum, have to develop a young quarterback. If they don't believe in Shador Sanders, or any other quarterback in this draft worthy of picking third, they're playing a very dangerous game of waiting for Aaron Rodgers and possibly missing out on quarterbacks that they deem probably better. I don't know how they feel about it. They've met with Flacco. They've met with Wilson. Today, they met with Jameis Winston. If they're willing to allow these guys to go, if they're willing to wait for Aaron Rodgers, which, by the way, I think they should, but that's because I believe I would take a quarterback number three, and worst case scenario, I just play my drafted quarterback from day one, or put a lesser quarterback out there in front of him for a couple of weeks. And I don't view them all that different, but I'm curious how the Giants are viewing them. And if they knew they weren't taking a quarterback, if they feel either they don't know if they're going to get one of those two quarterbacks, or how they feel about Shador Sanders, would they be so willing to wait and not make sure they get the quarterback they deem best suited to win football games for them? So that's the first thing. Do we get a glimpse on how they feel about whichever quarterback falls to them or the other quarterbacks in this dart? Like, are they comfortable with multiple quarterbacks starting from day one under Brian Daboll? And are we getting an idea of that with their willingness to just wait it out for Aaron Rodgers? That's number one. And now the question of, well, why would Aaron Rodgers ever pick the Giants, right? He's not coming to the Giants. Why would he pick the Giants? Here's what I'll say, because I agree. I would think most likely he would pick the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they're the most talented roster. They have a more talented roster than the Giants. They have a better stable franchise. They have a team that went to the playoffs last year, the head coach, the whole bit. But here's my question in a similar vein with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers aren't drafting a quarterback. The Pittsburgh Steelers don't have a quarterback. The Pittsburgh Steelers want to win. The Pittsburgh Steelers haven't won a playoff game in a long time. There were talks about moving on from the coach. The fan base is getting fed up with this franchise that wins year in and year out, but has yet to win the big game for a long time now, and are getting fed up with how these playoff games have gone over the last decade. Does this team, who looks to win, compete in a division where, you know, they have Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, who are always very good? You just seen the Cincinnati Bengals listen to their quarterback, Joe Burrow, and sign their two wide receivers. You know the division is tough. You need a quarterback to compete with both of those guys. How long do they wait? Like, if it's a waiting game, at least the Giants have the backup of the third pick and a possible franchise quarterback that they can play from day one. What does Pittsburgh have to fall back on? Like, they can wait for Aaron Rodgers, sure, but if they miss out on Russell Wilson or a guy they deem to be better, or they, like, how do they view the quarterback situation, and how long can they wait knowing they don't have the same fallback the Giants do? I'm really wondering if it is a waiting game and we're waiting for Minnesota and you're circling all these other quarterbacks, do the Giants have the benefit and can they hold out longer knowing, one, they don't have the same sort of playoff mandate Pittsburgh does, and two, they have the fallback of drafting a young quarterback and playing him from day one and going about it that way, where Pittsburgh really only has go get the best quarterback available and try and win games, get back to the playoffs, and paint a different narrative of their playoff appearances over the last decade. Like, if they're in a waiting game, as much as I think, yes, if Rodgers finds out tomorrow Minnesota's not interested and it's to pick between the Giants and Pittsburgh, sure. Do I think Pittsburgh is the better option and the most likely option? Yes. But if they're playing this waiting game and there are reports that Aaron Rodgers is willing to wait, in my mind, in a staring contest of who signs the lousy quarterback first, isn't Pittsburgh under more pressure to make sure they get the guy they believe in while Aaron Rodgers takes his sweet-ass time? I would think so. 888-808-1019. We'll talk about more of that when we get on after the break. I'm hearing there's a chance you're playing some Pittsburgh Steelers sound. Is that possible?
I am at some point. Not okay. In this one.
Okay.
Not here.
That's good. I might go to it next, so I feel good about
which
this.
Is what I heard, so I wanted to make sure I didn't, you know, step on you.
Wow, we actually have some communication in
this
building?
It didn't come from you, but yes.
Well, I know.
Yes.
Well, I know it didn't.
Yes. Yes.
I'm in here. Yes. You're in your cubicle. I'm in here.
Yes.
How would I even know you were thinking about playing it? Well, someone told me. You didn't tell me that.
Who do you think put it in the system?
No, I'm sure you did.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, but you didn't tell me you were playing it.
Well, I got to come to you.
No, that's what I'm saying. I got to come to you.
Yeah, you were in the newsroom. I came up and said hello. You could have, you know, had a clue of what you wanted to do for the show.
I
knew where I was already.
I don't think about the show until I start doing it.
That's what I'm saying. I knew where I was going for my updates. I had a plan.
Stream of thought and then, oh yeah, that's right. I'll do that.
Well, I plan things out. I figure it out
for you.
Not great.
Not great.
Not great.
I didn't think so. 888-808-1019. Here's Marco.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.